Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the post-Syracuse edition of the Buds Podcast. I am Drew Schneider, and this is joined, of course, with Garrett Shearman.
Hello, hello. We are reeling.
Reeling. We sat and talked about it for about 10 minutes before we got started with this. So we have a lot of things to say about the Syracuse game and not a ton of time to say them because we bounced back with Wisconsin on Friday night. But we're going to get to what we have to say here the next half hour or so. So if y'all hang with, we'll be back after the quick commercial break to air some grievances and talk about some things. So hold with us, and we will be back shortly.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, and we are back from paying the bills, and I'm just going to go ahead and kick it over to Mr. Shearman here because he's got some frustration he needs to work out to start things off. So, Garrett, take away, bud.
Well, I'm grinning, but I'm also frowning internally. So that was especially friggin' frustrating, and I don't want to make this R-rated, so I'm not going to make it R-rated.
I've got a buzzer, and I just buzz him every time he swears.
Yeah, we got an electric collar in here. It's fine. But that was so frustrating for so many reasons. It was bookended. The game was bookended by a fumble in the red zone. The red zone offense on the goal line. The red zone offense looked awful. And then the last drive, perfect throw from Hudson Card, negated by a holding call.
So many penalties.
It's just Purdue had shoot yourself in the foot disease this week. And I'm no mathematician, as some of y'all are, but I believe it's probably a lot harder to win a football game if you turn the ball over four times in the first half. Dude, Yassine looked so good. Receiving core looked great. But we got like hints that Max Clair could be the next Payne Durham. Everything seemed to be going so well for Purdue offensively at some points, but they just kept shooting themselves in the foot. And, you know, I will get into the positives later. I will. I promise. Because that's why it was so frustrating. There were so many positives. But we just kept shooting ourselves in the foot, and no pun intended, derailed the entire offensive plan in the process. Dude, there's so much room for growth there, and they all looked good individually at times. But please don't turn the ball over four times in the first half. Please don't negate touchdowns with holding penalties. And please don't miss extra points. I did say, however, that Syracuse was going to miss a kick, and they did. So
they did.
I was at least right about that. But
I agree, Gary. That was what was so frustrating about that game, that it was there. Like, it felt a lot like the Syracuse game last year in a different way, but the game was there. Like, Syracuse didn't wildly outplay Purdue. They ran the quarterback, and we shot ourselves on the foot in offense, and that's literally what happened. They ran the quarterback. We just kept blowing our toes off. And, between there, the offense looked great. Card threw for over 300 yards, 70% completion. Yeah, he threw a pick, but we'll talk about as we go on, those are sort of baked into this air raid offense. You throw the ball 46 times, you're going to get a bad read or a defensive back making a play. That happens. And the fumbles, you know, the first one, it was just, he was trying to make a play. He was going to be short. Didn't matter. I don't really even count that as a fumble. The second one, high snap, catches the ball at the bottom. He's trying to do too many things at the same time. Trying to feel the snap, hand the ball to the running back, look at the defensive end, and none of that happened. And, God, was the third fumble? I lost track. Was that him just getting pwned in the back?
I think that's what happened, yeah.
Yeah, I just...
I'm trying to block those three fumbles out.
It's just... Purdue does not have that margin of error. They don't. There's just not enough talent on the team. Most teams don't have that margin of error. I watched Clemson lose to Duke because they did the same thing. It's been a very frustrating football season for me, folks. We're dealing with it here. We're trying to stay positive. Getting past that initial outpouring of emotion.
Yeah, what did you like? What did you like this week?
I like the wide receivers. I thought Yassine, like you mentioned, looked great. I mean, he's the possession receiver we need. He's not going to break a lot of plays. I think most of his receptions were the 8 to 12 yard catch it, fall down, get the first down variety. That's great. That's perfect. I thought Burks, especially that long pass down the sideline, amazing. Sheffield has some good plays, like you said. Claire looked good. I think the receiving group looked good, and that was one of the question marks coming in. It's still missing that big like receiver that can go down the sidelines and make catches. They're trying to turn Deion Burks into that, but he's 5'10", 5'11", and I think we mentioned it in one of the earlier podcasts. He's not Steve Smith, and if you're going to be that big, that size, you got to kind of be Steve Smith, and there's like one or two of him in the history of football. So it's tough when, you know, you don't have that big guy on the outside, especially in today's game where back shoulder throws are such a staple in most offenses. But again, that was where you've seen sort of picked up the slack some with those back shoulder stop routes to pick up first downs. On defense, the pass coverage wasn't bad.
That's where I was going to go to.
Yeah, the coverage wasn't bad. It looked better today than it did in any other game. They didn't really have any major play that you were just like, oh, we just cut that dude free, or like, why do they just complete nothing but slant routes? I felt like that looked better. What about you, Garrett? Any of the other positives you have to add before we get into some more?
Well, I mean, in a similar vein to what you were talking about with the pass coverage, I thought there was a decent possibility that Syracuse's just big, giant receivers were kind of just going to overpower us all night, and there was going to be a big deep ball threat at one point in the evening, and they really limited them to that, so they showed that they can, cover bigger receivers, and nothing was perfect, but I really liked Cam Allen's effort ball on the interception. Other positives, I mean, like, we already talked about the receiving core. When the left tackles do give Hudson Card that, left tackles, plural, yeah. When the left and right tackles giving him that time to extend the play, he tends to deliver, you know? I mean, like, If you don't cough up the ball that many times and you make those passes, like Drew said, his completion percentage was great, and he only had that one pick. And if you have that offense where you throw 40 times a game, an interception's very likely to happen. So, like, you know, I don't think too heavily on that. Offensively, that's what made it so frustrating. Offensively, like, when things clicked, they really, really clicked, and I liked the play calling when things were going well. I did not like the third and short play calling, I will say. They did kind of mess up third and short on a couple occasions. But overall, I mean, like, that's why it was so frustrating. That's why.
Right? And let's talk a little bit. I just actually wrote a little bit. If you go to Hammer and Rails and check out my, I think it says Monday Frustration article, I wrote a little bit about the short yardage issues. And, man, what I just see is just, if you can't run in the A-gaps, and Purdue can't run in the A-gaps, and the A-gap is the gap on either side of the center, you're going to struggle in short yardage. And Purdue just, with, you know, backup center Colton Burger, I'm combining several names, but backup center Josh Easy, fine. But he's not, like, and then the two guards next to him, they're just kind of undersized. They're G5 transfers. I'm glad they're here. They play well. They do all right in pass pro. But when it just comes down to, like, putting your hand in the dirt and just knocking somebody backwards, like, Purdue doesn't do it. It's so often when I see the mesh point of the handoff, the offensive line has already been pushed back 2 or 3 yards into the backfield, and it screws up all the timing. It messes up the handoff. If you can't just establish that line of scrimmage, or better yet, push them and reestablish it a yard or two past where you start, you're going to struggle. And I know everybody wants, oh, well, we just need to run outside. The problem is, if you can't run in the A-gaps or the B-gaps, that means they're just sitting out there waiting for you on the outside. Like, well, you need to be able to compress the defense and then outflank it. But you can't outflank a defense that's waiting for you on the outside, because you can't, with your core group, block guys and push them forward and pick up 2 or 3 yards. If you can't do that, you're not a good team. That's my wife, Sarah. She's You know, I would say I've educated her fairly well over our years.
So you've correctly mansplained football to her.
I must be insufferable to live with. You know, that's the same thing we talk about all the time. She's watching the game with me. She's like, you don't deserve to win if you can't run for 2 yards. Like, if you can't run, just hand the ball off and get 2 yards, you don't deserve to win a football game. And I am, you know, that's where I am too. If you can't get 2 yards in the game of football by lining up and handing it to your running back, you don't deserve to win. And Purdue didn't deserve to win that game because they couldn't do the easy things, the little things. They did the hard things pretty well, but the easy things are where everything just went, downhill. I had to really edit myself there.
They went to what? They went to where?
Right.
That's the exact thing I was gonna say, was that like they're missing the little things but doing the big things well. So like that gives you that sort of optimism, hope for the future, but it's really frustrating to watch as it's unfolding before your very eyes, you know?
Right.
And it's old and it's tired, but like football is a game that is won in the trenches, you know? And like Drew was saying, like there's a ripple effect between like if the structural integrity of the offensive line has already been compromised as the ball is being snapped, there's a ripple effect on how that affects where the ball is handed off, how high the snap is. There's no interior run game to be had. Can't penetrate A gap, B gap. So that's why offensively Purdue's really had to go to the sidelines. Like flex out a tight end, like swing pass, like those work well, but like you can't give a guy like Mockaby no room to run and expect him to run anywhere. He needs to make one guy miss, get slippery, downhill speed, break like one tackle, and everything on top of that is just the cherry on top. I know I said that before, but the interior run game is nowhere for Purdue, and that offensive line is very serviceable on the outside, but the interior is very frustrating. Very frustrating.
And let's talk about Mockaby for a second, because it was another frustrating day for Crazy Legs. So this fumble issue is a cascading issue. It's tough. Once you get labeled as a fumbler, everybody on the defense,
they're starting to punch that ball.
Yeah, starts punching it out. And I get it. I mean, what you're seeing now is that defensive coordinators have tape on Mockaby, and he has one really, really bad habit. I am going to definitely show this in film this week on Hammer and Rails. But when he gets in traffic, he likes to swim his arms forward to get momentum. And you'll see the ball in his right arm. Well, his elbow comes up and it's like horizontal to the ground, and as soon as it does that, everybody starts punching at it.
Yeah. I mean, it's fully exposed. It's like there's no sense of ball security at times. We love Crazy Legs.
Yeah.
But at times it seems like he kind of forgets about ball security.
Yeah, and it's really almost a product of him trying so hard to grind out those extra yards.
Yeah, he really does try to churn the extra yards. Yeah,
yeah, and so sometimes I almost feel like he'd be better served to just go down. And are those 2-3 yards, I mean, worth it after contact when you're having to swing the ball around? He got benched against Fresno because in the almost, I think it was the first or second drive, he did the same thing. Got in traffic, got his elbow away from his body, and they punched the ball out. So that's 4 fumbles before our lead back total in 3 games. We have managed to recover all 4, which is pretty amazing. But he stole some of Hudson Card's fumbles being recovered, because Hudson went 0-for-3. Every time he put the ball on the ground, they jumped on it.
Yeah, you can't get cursed with that bad fumble juju.
Right, and so, I mean, it's just something he's got to work on. But it's also one of those things that I think he does instinctively, and those are the hardest habits to break. I always think back to like when they tried to teach Tim Tebow how to play quarterback in the NFL and change his throwing motion, and like they would show him and it would look good, and then it got time to like pressure, and he immediately reverted back to all of his bad habits that he probably learned when he was like 10 years old.
Yeah, no, I mean, like you said, those habits are the hardest to unteach, I guess, is the best way to put it. But no, man, I mean, we can't talk enough about how frustrating that was, but there is one more thing I want to say about taking the good from the bad. The defense really held up well, even though it was trial by fire. I mean, well, first of all, this is boiler up down south, so I should be saying that in my Georgia accent. Mm-hmm. Trial by fire.
Trial by fire.
They held up well in that trial by fire. And, you know, I mean, Garrett Schrader looked like a Heisman candidate at times, I will say that. He ran so well. And I think most of that was on the scheming and the fact that he is giant with powerful churning legs. But, you know, the defense really surprised me at certain times about how resilient they were when, I had to censor myself too, when, a certain, type of excrement was hitting the fan. So you know what? I like where this team is going identity wise on both sides of the ball. And it's really just a matter of do the small things right and the big things will take care of themselves. And they simply did not do that at very, very crucial points in this football game. I mean, it was still, after all of those errors, all of those miscues, it was still 28-20 after a missed extra point. You're still within one possession with that two-point conversion. It's not the end of the world, even though you've peed the bed a few times. And they just, even when they could take chances, or take their chance and try to make something of it, they couldn't. And that said, I really like what I saw identity-wise on both sides of the ball from this new Ryan Walters team. It sucks to see them lose that way, but I like where it's going. That's all I'm going to say. I like where it's going.
I sort of mentioned that in my article today. It's just like that game individually sucked. It was very frustrating to watch. But I don't think there's any like big long-term takeaway you can get over really honestly any game this season. It just takes guys a while. It's a new system. So what I want to see is just continued improvement. And we saw that. And then on both sides of the ball, but we do need to talk a little bit about that quarterback run game. We were done in by a Garrett, and
I'm sorry, I apologize on behalf of all of us.
Yes, as a member of the Garrett Coalition, I'm a little disappointed in you, Garrett. But, first of all, shout out to Schrader. He played great. He ran the ball with authority. He picked all the right spots, and for the most part, he avoided the big hit. A couple times he got smacked, but I do want to say something about that. Is it is super hard to handle the QB run game in modern college football when you have a guy like Schrader, because basically in most games it's hands off the quarterback, except this game the quarterback was pulling the ball. In my opinion, Syracuse was running a version of the option. And Garrett and I was talking about that. We both have teams, cheer for teams, Georgia and Clemson, that play Georgia Tech on occasion and went against that Paul Johnson offense. And when Clemson finally figured it out against the Paul Johnson offense, they basically said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to hit the quarterback every play. Every play, he's going to pick himself off the ground. And by the third quarter, they're looking for a new quarterback because their first one is just, like, beat into the ground. But Schrader, because they weren't running that triple option, when he fakes the handoff and puts the ball on his hip, that's really tough because if you don't see, you have to make sure he has the ball. Running back, it doesn't matter. You run play action, the running back, stick it in his gut, pull it out, and the linebacker blows him up. That was a good job by the linebacker and the running back. The running back did his job. But if you miss on a quarterback and he doesn't hand, and he hands it off instead of keeping it, and you just smoke him from the backside, 15-yard penalty. So when Schrader was doing all that slick ball handling that Purdue was having trouble with, like, that's the one time. You have to make sure he has the ball. Like, if you hit him and he doesn't have the ball, it's a 15-yard penalty, and I guarantee that all week they're, you know, the defense is hearing, don't hit the quarterback late, don't hit the quarterback late, don't hit the quarterback late. And so he fakes the handoff, and the defense is saying, I can't hit the quarterback, but now the quarterback's got the ball and he's running with it. So it's a tough, you know, Syracuse, I think, exploited that a little bit. You know, it's within the rules. It's using the rules to your advantage. But at the same time, at some point this year, if they keep doing that, somebody is just going to smoke Garrett Schrader. And they're going to have to be okay with that. Like, he is going to hand the ball off on a dive, and the end is just going to come and cut him in half. And that's just something they're going to have to deal with, because if I watch that film as the next team Syracuse plays, I'm saying, Schrader's keeping the ball. Hit him. Schrader's keeping the ball. Hit him at all times. Just keep hitting him. Purdue didn't hit him enough. And like I said, some of that is a function of them just not holding the edge or rushing too far past him and letting him step up and through. But some of it is, you know, you've got to come off the edge, read the handoff, figure out, you know, who's got the ball. And, like, that's a lot to process for these guys, you know, coming off the edge. So it made Purdue look silly on a few times. But that's part of that is a function of us just, or any team, just not being able to hit the quarterback. And when they use their quarterback almost exclusively in the run game, that really puts the defense at a disadvantage.
Yeah, no, going back to like that Paul Johnson Georgia Tech offense that he had there for such a long time, I remember watching those Georgia Tech games as a kid with my dad, who was a decent football player and told me a lot about how defenses work. There would be times where, like, nobody would hit the quarterback because they were afraid on Georgia's offense to get that penalty. And occasionally he'd hit him on third and three, but they still pick up a first down. And my dad would say, he might have gotten the first down, but I guarantee you he's going to remember that hit the next time he goes for the option. And somebody's going to do that to Garrett Schrader this year. Whether they get the flag or not, I think some defensive coordinators and linebackers coaches are going to be willing to take that risk, but Purdue was not, and Garrett shredded the offense.
Ooh.
The defense.
Yeah.
I ruined a cool line by saying offense instead of defense, but Garrett shredded it.
Yes, he was a very good Garrett. And so, like I said, I don't think there's a big takeaway from this game. Other than do the little things right, the interior offensive line is maybe gets better when Harvard comes back. Who knows? We've been flirting with his return for a few weeks now, so hopefully he's ready to go. Having Garrett Miller back in the run game would be nice. I didn't see him on the injury report, but I didn't see him in the game.
Yeah, I didn't. There was not a Garrett Miller signing at all. There was certainly another Garrett that did very well as we were talking. But honestly, if Miller gets back healthy, I'd kind of want to see, because I was talking about the 13 personnel last week, and I'd kind of honestly like to see him maybe even do some jet sweeps. Like, he's one of the speedier tight ends. He is if Purdue has a deep route threat for a tight end, it's him, and probably only him. Because he is that speedy, and maybe like a Garrett Miller jet sweep would be kind of fun. But now I'm just speculating on future plays instead of talking about what we just witnessed. But
no, I agree with you that I feel like we keep talking about Purdue sort of missing that big guy that can go down the field and take it away from a safety, and I kind of think that's Garrett Miller. But who knows, you know. It's a long rehab. He hurt that thing in fall camp last year. He did not look right against Virginia Tech, so who knows? We may be wishing for something that's just not going to happen this year. You know, that's too bad, but that's the way sports go sometimes.
Yeah, injuries suck. I don't wish them upon even, like, the players I hate the most.
So. Yeah, I wish my knee still worked.
Dude, me too. Skateboarding and soccer and basketball and football and hockey and, oh, my God. I'm 28 years old and I feel like this, everybody.
Wait until you're 42.
Oh, please, God, no.
All right, but anyways, we are going to go ahead and take this home. Garrett, do you have any closing thoughts before we head off to our separate destinations?
No, really, I just want to reiterate the fact that, you know, it was very frustrating, but I do like where the identity of both sides of the ball is currently. I think there is a lot of places Purdue can go with this talent and with this scheme. It's just, it did not come into fruition for us this week.
Yeah, that's where I am too. This game, it's one of those games you just kind of got to flush. Like, I don't think Purdue's not going to play a quarterback like Garrett Schrader, who is like a wide, you know, he played wide receiver for Mike Leach at Mississippi State. Like, he is an athlete, and he's giant. So I don't. That's not gonna be, I don't think, a reoccurring problem for the defense. And you know, I don't think Huston Carr is gonna cough the ball up three times, or at least, you know, twice is what I was really counting. That first one I didn't really count. So no huge takeaways from it, other than I think Purdue and Syracuse are probably two pretty matched, evenly matched schools, and this is Dino Babers' like 10th year there and Ryan Walters' first year. So. You know, that's a good place to start.
Yep, good starting point. Good starting point. Anyway, guys, we are signing off. We will get at you with a preview on Thursday, Friday, maybe. Friday?
Thursday, Friday. Look for us Thursday, Friday. The Friday night game is throwing off our normal schedule, so we're not sure if this is going to go out, if the Wisconsin preview goes out Thursday night or Friday morning, whichever way Will Edmond decides to post it. So anyways, look for us later on this week. We'll talk a little whiskey football. If you listen to the Syracuse preview, we pretty much nailed it. So, you know, you maybe just listen to us. You don't even have to watch the game.
Yeah, like, we're super smart. Like, never question our intellect. Anyway, y'all come back now, you hear?